Hockey Central at noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand.
Okay, so you know at the All-Star game, every now and then you look at one of the players and you say to yourself, why is he there? And then you say, oh yeah, of course, every team has to have a representative. Welcome to Hockey Central at noon. Jeff Merrick in for Darren Millard alongside our two mainstays here on Hockey Central at noon, longtime mainstays, Nick Kypreos
veterans.
And Doug McClain. That's right, the vets. And I'm the reasonable hand-drawn facsimile of your usual host,
you're
Darren Millard.
You're usually an analyst, aren't you?
Fridays, I fake one on TV for 60
your
minutes.
Your earpiece working?
I don't know. Nobody's talked to me yet.
You have an earpiece in?
I have one in, but we haven't had a phone call
yet. Producer Matt.
Oh, here we go.
No earpiece.
The technical difficulties.
It's not good when you have the interviews on.
Speaking of which, we should mention Alan May will be a board analyst for the Washington Capitals. Their winning streak ending yesterday at the hands of the Pittsburgh Penguins, despite scoring 7 goals. And in 10 minutes, Brent Burns, who got his 18th last night against the Winnipeg Jets. Brent Burns, San Jose Sharks defenseman, will be aboard. 9 games on the go around the NHL this evening. It is once again a very busy Tuesday night. We will begin with the QEW rivalry. This is the Buffalo Sabres facing off against the Toronto Maple Leafs. And the sidebars are many when you talk about these two teams, whether it is Austin Matthews versus Jack Eichel, whether it is where are they at with their development as there are two teams that are on the rebuild, whether it's Mike Babcock once upon a time saying no to the Buffalo Sabres and yes to the Toronto Maple Leafs, or whether it's just a good old-fashioned hockey game where historically the Buffalo Sabres have dominated the Toronto Maple Leafs. That, ladies and gentlemen, was audio tap dancing as we wait for Nick Kypreos to get his earpiece working. Are we all good, Nick?
No love.
Okay, no love. Let's begin with you then, Doug. Your thoughts on tonight's big matchup. It is the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Air Canada Centre versus the Buffalo Sabres. Eichel and Matthews, the main sidebar story here.
Well, am I excited about it? Yeah, you're always excited when Buffalo and the Leafs get together. And, you know, the Leafs are playing well right now. Actually, they played well for an extended period of time. So you would have said at the start of the season, you know, Buffalo may have an edge here as to where they are in the rebuild.
Oh,
you
know? I so disagree.
No, at the start of the season, I'm saying.
I disagree.
Well, I wouldn't. Well, you can disagree. Yeah. We've disagreed in the past.
Yeah.
But when you, oh, so you knew Matthews and Marner and these guys were going to be stars?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, nobody saw that coming, but. No.
So if not for those two, what would be going on?
Where are they now? What about now? Where are they in the
rebuild? What I'm saying, if Matthews and Marner wouldn't have been the stars that they are, where would the Leafs be is what I'm saying. They certainly wouldn't be where they are. I guarantee you that.
Well, I think Freddie Anderson has given them much better goaltending than Buffalo has with Leonard. The consistency. Yeah, that to me, when they made that trade, that put them ahead. And then, to your point, we didn't know it was coming. But outside of that, too, the only thing that really, for Buffalo, when you compare them to the Leafs, is outside of Jack Eichel, you really wonder who's their dynamic players moving forward here. Because they do, you look at that roster and they've got some good players. Sam Reinhart, good player.
Yep.
Good, honest player.
Yep.
But not a star. Not a guy that you're going to build around. I think he's going to be a great complementary player, a guy that can produce off the wall, but not a dynamic game breaker. The
question is he a winger or is he a center?
Whatever he is, but he is. Right, he's going to be successful wherever he is. But when you talk about dynamic players, young players, I really look at Jack Eichel being there and really questioning who's going to be
Alex,
beside him.
Okay, just a minute. Hold on a sec here. Let's hold on a sec.
Yep.
Take Matthews and Marner out of the mix. And then you say, well, because you didn't know what they were going to be at the start. You didn't even think Marner was going to make the team based on his training camp last year.
Nobody said that.
So
you're making that up.
So you look at the two teams and you say, okay, Eichel has a chance to be a star. Ryan O'Reilly. Everybody likes Ryan O'Reilly.
Everybody likes him.
Everybody, you know, people thought Kane. You loved Kane. I loved Kane. We don't know. Now we're not sure. Sam Reinhart had a heck of a year last year, coming off a real good year. You're thinking he's going to build on that. So you're saying, look at that group. Okay.
And
Now.
Rasmus Ristolainen on the point, too. A lot of expectations there.
And you thought he was pretty good. And Leonard, you thought he's, you know, they paid a first-round pick. You thought he had a chance to be a pretty good goaltender. Okay, so what I'm saying is going into the season, I would have said they were ahead of the Leafs based on what I just said. Mm-hmm. Today, I would say they're not. And for the things Nick said.
Because there's no body of evidence at the beginning of the season for Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, maybe a little
you didn't
bit
know
for
what,
William Nylander.
We didn't know what they're...
For me, the main concern moving forward, and the league continues to get faster, and I look at Sam Reinhart, and he's not blessed with breakaway speed, okay? Ryan O'Reilly is a heck of a player, and we saw that in the World Cup, that he can play a great role, but there's no separation speed out of him.
That was always a knock, and that's why he fell
in
the second round.
Kyle Okpozo, big long-term deal. Not a quick player, right? Look where the game's headed, and you look at where they are right now. Evander Kane may be the closest to have that breakaway separation speed that Eichel, but most often than not, he's separating at the wrong time for the wrong reasons. Do you know what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
So outside of that, now you've got their first-round pick.
Alex Nylander.
Alex Nylander. Can he be as good as his brother, who also has tremendous separation speed for the Leafs? So that's three for the Leafs. Mm-hmm. And really, I only see one on Buffalo's side for Jack Eichel. They tell me he's not as fast as his brother. He won't be that type of player.
You know, when he plays...
Kadri or Ryan O'Reilly? Kadri doesn't have breakaway speed.
Yeah. Three might be enough.
Yeah, so no, but I'm saying, who do you like better?
I like Ryan O'Reilly. Ryan O'Reilly's a better all-around player for me than Kadri.
Okay. So you go after, so then you say Hyman. Do you like Hyman versus, you know, I get Marner and Matthews. I get that. But I'm saying after Marner, Matthews, and Nylander, after those three.
Yes, I like Connor Brown, too. Connor Brown's going to score 20 goals.
Yeah, I like him, too.
Right?
But I think the Sabres are going to have a few guys who are going to score 22. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying, other than Matthews and Marner and the breakout season they had, I would have had Buffalo ahead of them at the start of the season. Now, I wouldn't because of some of the things Nick said.
And one of the interesting things as well, too, is you may look at both defenses and say, well, we're trying to find some there. And Rasmus Ristolainen, for some, not their cup of tea, others, he is.
And Morgan Riley.
But does either team have a number one?
No,
and the answer is no.
No, they don't.
And the answer is no, and they're both fishing for them. Will Borgen and Brendan Gooley on the horizon for the Buffalo Sabres. Travis Dermott for the Toronto Maple Leafs. But there's still
that You know how funny it is? If McDavid would have went to Buffalo versus Eichel, what would we be sitting here saying today? That Toronto were ahead of them? I don't think so.
Right.
I don't think so.
We could do a lot of ifs.
No. So, yeah. Well, ifs are right now when we're talking about Marner and Matthews, because didn't know how good they were going to be in September.
We had a better idea after the World Cup than Matthews.
After the World Cup, we did. A little better.
The ifs and buts can revolve around what if Austin Matthews were born 2 days sooner and was available for the Connor McDavid draft. Then Buffalo has themselves a tough situation. Do you want to take Jack Eichel second overall, who at that time was the better prospect, or... do you take Austin Matthews? Hindsight being 20/20, you'd probably take Austin Matthews right now. But
Eichel's coming off a pretty serious injury. I mean,
sure
Eichel's going to probably be a 35 goal scorer too, and he's he's going to be a pretty good player. He might be a 40 goal scorer. We might be sitting here in 2 years' time saying, "Oh, I kind of like Eichel's total game versus some of the flash that we have here." Who knows what we're saying in 2 years' time?
Essentially, a lot of it is, whether it's the lottery, whether it's someone's birthday close to the cutoff date for the draft, so much of this is just luck, guys. Oh. Like, it really is just luck. And no one knows that better than Peter Chiarelli and the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, I mean, McDavid's turned their franchise around.
Completely.
And you hope Eichel can do that.
Nobody's talked to me yet. How do I know?
There's going to have to be some more pieces there in this new generation of a game, because we know what the game is all about. It's just you can't even be an average skater anymore.
Yeah.
Top third, top three lines, four lines now. There has to be a few roadrunners on there.
Let's get to our first guest. We'll pick up the conversation about the Sabres and the Toronto Maple Leafs in a couple of moments. In the meantime, San Jose Sharks defenseman Brent Burns joins us now. He scored another goal yesterday to add to his collection so far this season. Brent, thanks for doing this. How are you today, sir?
No worries. What's going on, guys?
Well, I've got to ask you about... we've seen some interesting assists this year. There was a gorgeous pass yesterday from Connor McDavid to Connor Sheary. There was a Jonathan Drouin pass to Tyler Johnson. But the most painful pass had to have been Joel Ward feeding Timo Meier after getting crunched by Mark Stewart yesterday in your game. How was Joel Ward after that hit?
Well, he was good. I mean, he was. I don't know if you guys know him well, but he's got a pretty unbelievable sense of humor, and he kept asking if he had any of the rink advertisements still on his face left. But he was. I think that just shows the kind of guy he is. That's a pretty big hit, and he knew Stewart's going to come in there and lay a paste in on him, and made a great play. So he's a huge part of our team.
Is that Peter DeBoer I hear in the background?
Yeah, we got this is the kid's Christmas present. We got a new puppy.
Oh, very nice, yeah. Very nice.
Listen, when you score your 18th goal, and it goes off the backboard, it goes off Hutchinson and in the net. Is that point when you sit there and go, this is just one of those years I can't do anything wrong? Like 18 goals already. We knew you had capabilities, but did you see that many at the halfway point?
No, I never really look at numbers. I don't really put on that goal, I didn't know what went in. And then I just figured Pav tipped it. That's who I was shooting for. So it was one of those weird plays. Usually I just kind of see what Pav does. If he starts skating towards me, then I know he might not have hit it. And if he does a signature little sally, then I know he got it. So he's, I really think there's probably two guys that I played with that are incredible hand-eye coordination. It's Sid and Pav. They're two best guys at tipping shots, and I could pretty much wire it anywhere at them, around them, and they're going to get a stick on it. And I'm lucky. I'm lucky to get to play with Jumbo, who's always looking to get me the puck, and then Paz is always in a great spot to get sticks on pucks.
So, Joe Thornton's in Toronto a couple of months ago, and he makes this proclamation that you're not the best defenseman in the NHL. You are also the most valuable player in the NHL. And I'm thinking, okay, Joe, you're pushing your buddy a little bit too much there. We know, we like him as a Norris candidate, but I'm not sure he's an MVP of the league. Now I'm sitting here today saying, maybe
Joe was onto something.
Maybe Joe was onto something there. What do you think?
Well, I think he was probably looking for a free meal. He knew I got to take him for dinner after that.
That's good. So
I don't know. Who knows? It's awfully nice of him to say that. I think it's, it's pretty cool when you get to play with a guy like him. And I think he just makes so much, he makes everybody around him so much better. And it's, I've been lucky. I learned a lot playing with Jumbo and sitting next to him, definitely.
Can he not score one goal without it being an empty net?
Huh. No, he's not allowed to. We told him. He's not allowed to. All he can do is pass. If he shoots now, he gets in trouble.
Just so all of our listeners are aware, Joe Thornton scored an empty net goal last night against the Winnipeg Jets. He has 3 goals this season. All of them are into an empty net. He has yet to score against a goaltender. And Martin Jones almost got one yesterday.
And one of them was awarded to him. One of them was awarded to him of the three.
We told him he's not allowed to score with a goalie in the net. He's got to pass everything, which he usually does anyway. So,
a trip to the Stanley Cup final. What work is left out of the Sharks now to get you again to another level and this time win it?
I mean, it's just such a hard league. I think every night is hard. I think you're seeing that. The difference between the 25th place team and the second place team is so minimal. I think every night is so hard, and it's just consistency. It's obviously our power play isn't clicking like it was before. Penalty kill is better than it was last year. I mean, there's always things that you got to work on in your game. Jones, he's always been there for us. He's just such an important part of our team, and he's definitely one of the best goalies in the league for us, and gives us so much confidence. And there's always things. It's always an ebbs and flows. Sometimes the power play will get hot. We haven't really had that yet, but hopefully it comes. And the 5-on-5, you can always get better on. There's just always parts of the game that you can work on, but it's hard. It's a battle every night.
There's always this. Well, one of the debates we have around here a lot of nights is, Who's the best at deflecting pucks in front of the net? And usually the conversation revolves around two players. One of them is Wayne Simmonds in Philadelphia, and the other is Joe Pavelski on your team. How much time does he spend in practice tipping shots from the point?
Yeah. I mean, we try to work on it. The one tough thing is we don't practice much now because of the travel. But
right.
When we do, you know, usually pregame skates, we'll shoot you know, we me and him go out there early with, you know, four or five other guys. And, you know, I'll probably shoot 50, 60 pucks at a pregame skate. We do a little drill and warm-up where we kind of shoot pucks at each other. So definitely that's the thing that he's worked on as a kid. When I played forward, he helped me out with a couple little drills to get my hand-eye a little bit better. It's just definitely a skill for him. I think he's one of those – he's one of those guys, he's one of those kids that you grew up with that, you know, you grab a baseball bat, he can play baseball really well. He's like a minus two handicap in golf. I mean, he's just an incredible athlete. So, yeah, actually, I never played with Simmonds, but now that you say that, I see a lot of deflection goals from him. And, you know, like I said before, Sidney's incredible at it. I've seen a lot of goals that he's batted in this year, but, you know, to watch him do some deflection stuff in practice, he's incredible at it too. Those are definitely three of the best.
Hey, Brent, I'm watching the game the other day, and I see this commercial. It's you and Joe sitting in a barber's chair, and I'm sitting there going, man, oh, man, your beard's a bigger celebrity than you are.
Suits. Yeah. His suits are bigger than Jerry's.
So what is it? The suits, the beard, and then you? What's the pecking order here? Because I'm sitting there going, like, how do you keep up with this demand?
I do think if I shaved, I'm getting beat up for it. That's for sure.
But there's no going back.
But you know what? And when I watch him walk in the rink, you see the beard, you see the suits, but the shoes get me. What are those you're wearing?
Oh, there's a couple different ones. I think it's all. I've had, I had Jacques as a coach, and then Todd McClellan, and I've always had a lot of hobbies and a lot of different things about my life that I try to get around hockey to help, you know, get away from the rink a little bit and help enable the hockey game to be stress free. And they all talked about, you know, getting that routine down and really hammering that down on me with so many things that I had. And, you know, I think that's the suits is the first part of my routine. It's, you know, when you get to go put a suit on, and instead of just throwing on any, you know, one or two suits, a blue or a black one, it's kind of fun to go up there and for 10 minutes, get ready for a game and know that, you know, that's the start of the preparation to get going. And, you know, usually the lights are off and you don't see what you're putting on, but it's the fun part for me.
I want to get back to this beard. Are you telling me that you've never lost a puck in your feet because of that beard? Come on.
Mine's real thin. My hair, it's usually wrapped around my neck and the back. Somebody said, somebody was saying last year, like, oh, these guys they probably can't even see the puck, but... I will always have to look down when I stick handle anyway.
Wow. So in my era, it was about the visors, eh? Guys didn't want to wear the visors because it restricted them.
Right.
Yeah. Put that thing on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put that thing on and see how restricted you are or how you feel.
What catches me, too, is, and I think I marvel at this more than anything, is when I watch in the pregame warm-up and you go through your skating routine, I'm thinking – man, the agility, the way this guy can skate, you know, when you do your little pivot, turn, forward, backward routine. I mean, I've never seen an NHL player in my entire life go through that type of routine. Where'd that come from?
Yeah, it's from, there's a bunch of us, Spezza, Stamkos. We all went to the same skating and skills guy, Yari Burski in Toronto. Mm-hmm. And so I've been going to him since I was 8 years old. And that's kind of one of like the warm-up drills that you did when we were young to teach us how to, you know, use our edges. And so it's always been a thing I've used since I was young. You're just, you know, to feel my edges, get my skates kind of going, get my legs going. And
especially now too, I think it's important in different rinks. You can kind of feel the different ice.
Right.
You know, every rink is so different. Just the hardness of the ice, the amount that chips away. It's just kind of that's kind of the next part for me to get going for a game. I think that's, you know, I think your body, it kind of goes through steps, and, you know, even on nights when you don't feel well and you had a bad nap, you had a bad meal, you feel like garbage, because there's definitely those nights you can put your body into a place where it knows it has to go anyways. It doesn't really matter. And, you know, if you do the same things all the time and then get into the game, it's only going to help you, kind of put you into that game mode.
So I remember when you were drafted, I was sitting at the draft table and your name's called out, and a couple of my scouts leaned over and said to me, they don't know whether this guy's a forward or a defenseman. You know, junior, they don't know. He played defense, he plays forward, they don't know what the hell he is. When did, so coaches didn't know, scouts didn't know. When did you know that you were a defenseman? When did you figure it out? Did you know all along?
No, I mean, I didn't really care where I played. I love both. I love playing both, and I just wanted to play. I just wanted to, whatever got me into the game at the start of my career, I was willing to do. You know, there's been different circumstances with, you know, other guys getting hurt or team needed a D or a forward, and so I didn't really care to play either. I actually really enjoy playing both, and if you told me to pick one, you know, now it's a little easier for me to pick D to. You know, I've always enjoyed D more, a little bit maybe, just because you got to play, you had more ice time. But, you know, I think I have so much fun when I play forward. It's just a different game. But, you know, I think I did know pretty early that I was going to be a better D-man than I was going to be a better forward. But, you know, I really enjoyed both. I didn't really care.
More ice time. Why didn't you tell me that early in my career?
Hey, yeah. You have to skate backwards to be able to play defense.
Not skating backwards. I'm not skating backwards. Hey, Brent, they tell me that you might not have to don the Chewbacca outfit this year at the All-Star game.
Mm. Is that a miter?
You happy about that?
You know what? I am. I was pretty nervous. I think that was I knew when Johnny Scott, when he was our captain, I knew he was going to screw me with that one. Because it was hard. I've seen guys try to do the, you know, come down and pick it up on your stick, and it doesn't come up on your stick. And then what do? You're in trouble. You know, and I don't really have those hands anyway, so that wasn't an option for me. And then, you know, I think it was really special for me to get to bring my son out. And, you know, it was a funny little thing I could do for the fans with all the Chewbacca stuff that they, you know, they tweet at me all the time. And, you know, but after that, I was thinking, what am I going to do? If when we played in Edmonton, I was going to try to whisper something to Connor and say, hey, do not put me in that one. That
was, you guys will put on a great show regardless, buddy.
It'll be good.
It'll be good.
Brett, before we let you go, one quick thing that I've always wondered. We've seen you coming to the rink. We know, you know, the beard and the hair and the suits and all that, but also the backpack. Have you ever revealed what's in the backpack? I was always told it was a blender, true or false.
It's like the Batcave.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever really done a full reveal of it, but yeah, I always have a blender, some coffee beans, some little package of tea. I bring some different teas on the road. There's a bunch of stuff in there. It's just stuff that I use for games, and, you know, especially for the road. It's the boys would say I'm always taking waters if it's a good water brand from a different hotels or different rinks. Some of the rinks have, you know, like normal water, whatever it is, and then you get to some of the nice rinks and nice hotels, they get the Fiji water. So I definitely like to fill up the backpack with that stuff.
There's other good waters too, you know, Brent.
Oh, is that right, Nick?
Well, that one's always for home. I got the good stuff at home.
Attaboy.
Beauty.
Attaboy.
Brent,
I leave my car. My car stays out in the rain, and I get the GT8 right in the garage stall. So my car takes a beating, and the water stays protected.
There you go.
You're a good man.
I was waiting for it. Brent, continued success.
Good luck,
Brent. You're a delight to watch, and thanks so much for doing the program today.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for having
good luck,
me.
Brent. Good luck, Brent.
Brent Burns of the San Jose Sharks. You know, you can recall, remember that World Championship when it was in Halifax and Quebec City, and Brent Burns head and shoulders better than anybody in the tournament, and everyone was ready. This is the next big phenom. This, and then, you know, the injury issues and concussions, et cetera. Yeah. I'm just thrilled that we got that same guy back.
But before,
he was on this trajectory.
Even when he was in Minnesota, you saw flashes of brilliance.
Totally.
They just couldn't figure it out, I think. In terms of forward or defense, to your point.
Yeah.
And
it was an issue for how many years?
But you,
what is he?
You watch him now and his approach and his passion, and he lives and breathes the game, which it's almost rare today.
What about the Paul Martin acquisition coinciding with him going to going to another level as well?
Yep.
You know, Paul Martin comes in, you know, after a real good run in Jersey and Pitt. And Paul comes in, and they seem to find magic a year ago. I don't know how much, you know, I guess they're still together most of the time, but it's helped too.
And allows Vlasic and Braun to play together too. That's a real nice top four they have in San Jose. So it's all fitting hand to glove.
I mean, San Jose is a contender with this guy. He talks about Joe Pavelski and what he brings to the table, leadership and character and skill and all the intangibles you need to be a winner. This guy brings it too.
And they've got kids pushing guys. I mean, Matt Nieto got placed on waivers. Why? Because of Kevin LeBanc and because of Timo Meier.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, you ran teams for how many years? I mean, you have to keep it fresh. Was it Saylor used to always say 10 to 15% change every year, even when you're winning, just to keep things fresh and keep guys motivated, carrot in front of the mule?
We do that here.
And people will talk about his offense, rightfully so. He's got 18 goals, but he is really good defensively, and I don't think he even comes close to getting the recognition of being a good positional player, picking pucks out of the air, good stick, breaking up plays. Man, it was a no-brainer to sign him on a long-term deal, and like any long-term deal, you probably want a year or two above it, but that's the price that you pay to keep a guy around that should be a star for the next 5 or 6 years.
I remember putting him on the World Cup team here last year, and everybody shaking their head at me, saying, what do you mean? He's on the team? He's one of the top 6, 7 best?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was that good a year ago. Where he's gone in the last 2 years with his game, 2+, but not much more.
Yeah.
He's gone to a whole – I mean, you know, we all said he was good, but he's gone to a whole nother level.
And you look at him and Byfuglien and the style of play, and they should be kind of comparable.
Mm-hmm.
And the stock on Burns is right through the roof, and now you see Byfuglien, and he's caught now. He's just caught, and it's really kind of disappointing to see Winnipeg where they are, and even Byfuglien right now. He should be more of a Pat or a Brent Burns right now for Winnipeg.
What
and
about DeBoer's attitude with him, as saying I don't care, I just care what he does when he shows up and puts his skates on. I don't care what his beard's like. I don't care what his hair is like. I don't care what his clothes. All I care about. So has there been a relaxing of the guard? I mean, look, Doug Wilson is a pretty straight and narrow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Doug likes things to be fairly cut to the chase. This is we're seeing a different attitude coming. I like the swagger coming to this hockey team.
Okay, let me ask you. I mean, you ran teams. How would you coach Brent Burns? Doug McLean, you're Brent Burns' coach. What are you doing?
Pretty much the same way, no?
I'm just, I mean, how do you coach this guy? He's like a...
Open the door?
I would say. I mean,
shut the door?
You know what Peter DeBoer has done? I don't think Peter DeBoer's coached him. I think what Peter DeBoer has done is put a really good guy with him.
Truth.
That compliments him, that allows him to be himself, and he doesn't worry about what he looks like, what he, you know, because, Brent Burns has always got a reputation of being a great guy, a great, nice guy, a good teammate. I think if I was coaching him, I'd love to see him coming in, look, you know, with the beard and the, you know, he was always, it was before it was all the mammals. It was all the, you know,
reptiles.
But they show up and play.
Reptiles.
They just show up and play. And
yeah, he shows up and plays.
Success will take care of it, right? If they're not winning.
Who collects mammals?
Then they go back.
any coach. Bringing livestock to the rink.
any coach or general manager would totally revisit all of it. If they weren't successful,
what would Lou Lamoriello do with Brent Burns?
Good Lord.
yeah, that was never happening. That's never happening.
He's mad at Tiger Williams for showing up with a beer, and he hasn't played in 30 years.
We hit a break on Hockey Central at noon. American Filner and Kiprios alongside Doug McClain. When we come back, we'll get on the Washington Capitals page. The winning streak over at 9, falling at the hands of the Pittsburgh Penguins yesterday in spectacular fashion. Alan May from CSN joins us here in a couple of moments. Caps analyst here on Hockey Central at noon. Sportsnet 590, the Fan simulcast on the NHL Network stateside. Welcome back to Hockey Central at noon. Jeff Merrick for Darren Millard alongside Nick Kiprios and Doug McClain. Some janitorial work to pass along your way. Winnipeg Jets recalling
janitorial
Andre.
Work.
Just a little administration here to do, folks. Oh, just okay. Some admin.
I just envisioned you with a bucket and a mop.
And a mop, yeah. You know, like at the end of the Carol Burnett show? It's kind of like what I do around here.
Yeah, Carol Burnett show.
Usually the last guy to leave, so I grab a broom and sweep up and turn the lights off. You guys are all tucked away in your jammies.
Really making
dreaming us. Dreaming of the Stanley Cup.
Feel old right now.
Okay, sorry about that. Andre Pavlik called up by the Winnipeg Jets. Raising some eyebrows?
No, not raising eyebrows. It needs to get done. It needed to get done. And I hate the three goalies more than anything.
But here it is.
But the two goalies isn't working either.
The two isn't definitely working lately. And you feel for them because they're inexperienced, relatively young guys. Although yeah. Hutchinson's, what, 26, 27? The other guy's 24. I mean, but Pavlik... I'm not a Pavlik fan, I'm sorry. And I looked at his numbers in the American League this year. You can't go off that.
I also look at the most success that they've had since they've been back in the league, and he was the goalie.
What's with Pavlik?
The one thing about Pavlik, as I said, I'm not a big fan of his game, but he can get on a run. He's streaky.
That's what the Jets need.
So let's hope Pavlik gets streaky.
And there is. Let's
real make, fast.
And there's a lot of talk and a lot of heat about possible coaching change. I just don't see it. I don't see it. And I know Elliot talked about it on Saturday's headlines, that there might even be an extension in the works down the road. But I don't see anything significant happening until he gets a chance to rectify this goaltending situation and stabilize it. No one's saying Hellebuck is not the future goalie.
No.
But... This, in the present, it needs to be addressed.
They need some wins right now.
Don't think Paul Maurice should be fired either. I don't think that's... I agree with Nick 100% on that.
Really quick, Brad Hunt claimed off waivers by Nashville from St. Louis. Carter Hutton, speaking of St. Louis, gets his third straight start tonight as the Blues face off against the Ottawa Senators. Here's Alan May from CSN in Washington, in the analyst for the Washington Capitals.
Former teammate of mine.
Former teammate of Nick
Kiprios. Line mate of mine.
That was a tough line, if I recall. Alan, first of all, good afternoon. Thank you.
That was a line that wasn't used a lot.
But when it was,
but when it was used, it was good. They were effective.
And I recall you got fired because of it. Right, Alan?
Good afternoon, Alan.
Well, absolutely. I missed having Doug as a coach, but, you know, he wasn't using us right, and that caused the coaching change. So I should have been on the first line.
I hope Brian Murray's listening.
For us. No, we're very fortunate that Brian Murray was our coach because he gave us our first real opportunities in the National Hockey League, and we're forever grateful to both of you guys.
Well, you should be, because I was the guy in there in Brian's ear trying to get you ice time.
And he liked the tough guys, Brian?
He loved you guys.
It was a good mix.
So I was watching you on TV one night, and there was a lady doing the telestrator. I missed her name. Is that Craig Lachlan's daughter?
I don't know if she was doing the telestrator, but she was. That is Craig Lachlan's daughter that works on the show.
Oh, that's great. I saw her name, and I was wondering if it was Craig. So that's great, because obviously Craig was there as well. And
we're also wondering if they stole your tie.
Yes. Like, what is that all about?
I'm very uncomfortable not wearing a tie in telestrator.
And you look good in a tie.
Yeah, I do. And I've been wearing one since I was a little kid. And my mom's not too appreciative of the look right now. She says it looks like I just get back from happy hour when I'm not in the game.
You look like Rod Langway coming in the back door of the Landover rink for a game.
Hey, be careful what you say about our Hall of Famers. You're going to show a lot of respect to those guys. But no, it's not a look I'm comfortable with. Very uncomfortable with it, but everyone at the network has to do it in studio right now.
I want to correct myself. You look like Yvonne LeBray coming in
right now.
Okay, Alan. We're watching last night, Washington, Pittsburgh, in the start of the second period, and it goes from, well, I don't know what we can describe the first period, into this train wreck that you can't take your eyes off of.
Spectacular.
I don't know about spectacular.
It was spectacular.
1980s. Yeah. It was the 1980s all over again. I loved it. I know the coaches don't like it. The game's so overcoached. The goaltenders with the big equipment, goaltending coaches, there's real coaches now. There's more about, it's more of a chess game than a checkers game when we played. And, it was kind of everything went out the window last night. And once Pittsburgh's fans got behind them, they started to play such a speed game, crashed the net. But the Caps have so much fight in them. It was an entertaining affair. I thought it was great. That's one of those games you can't really analyze. Because it's, there was no structure to what the Caps were doing. And they play so good when they have structure in their game. And everything went out the window last night. And it just became a game about to see who could get more goals or touchdowns. And I thought it was awesome. If the fans got their money's worth, that's for sure.
So what would Barry Trotz say about that performance? Would he laugh about it? Trotz has a pretty good sense of humor.
He won't even break that video down. That's something that goes out the window. And, if anything, it's, that they take out of that game, it'd be puck management in certain situations, soft plays, to point those out. But, really in a game like that, it's like when the Montreal Canadiens lost 10-0 to the Columbus Blue Jackets. You just throw it away and you go back about your business. You'd rather have all those goals scored against you in one game than have the game winner five games in a row. So, the Caps had won 9 in a row. They go into that game. They were up. I forget who the save was made, but the Caps had a chance to go 4-0. I think it was a Nick Backstrom shot to the glove side of Murray, and Murray makes a blocker save, and it should have been in the back of the net, and it would have been game over, in my opinion. And next thing you know, not 30 seconds, 45 seconds later, it's 3-1, and then the track meet started. So, it's just one of those games the coaches throw them away, and that's not how the Capitals play, and Pittsburgh doesn't play that way as well. As far as allowing that many goals again. So, I don't know how many teachable moments there are in it, but you don't want to beat your team up for one loss in the last 10 games.
With Alan May breaking out of the Washington Capitals season so far, and so far this season, and certainly during the winning streak, 9 games in a row, we've seen some outstanding performances. The Ovechkin story as well told. Burakovsky starting to heat up as well. Justin Williams has played well. Nick Backstrom. But is it just me, or is Matt Niskanen having one of his best seasons ever so far, Alan?
Oh, just a minute. Let me clarify this. Is this analytics related?
Both. You can't watch Matt Niskanen.
Okay.
So you watch Matt Niskanen, you can't tell me he's having a good season?
I'm just saying.
Alan?
This is coming from somewhere.
They broke up the defense pairs a while back, and I think in that time the Capitals are 15-2-3, and they put Niskanen with Orlov and Carlson back with Alzner. And that top four, since they did it, has been outstanding, and it's unleashed. It's enabled Carlson to play a lot more offensive. It's allowed Orlov to play a lot more offensive. But the two players that have been the best for the Capitals all season on defense are Carl Alzner and Matt Niskanen. Mm-hmm. And both of them are unflappable. They seldom make a mistake with the puck. They make great outlet passes. They can help create offense. But Niskanen, because of his skating ability, he could play on any team in the National Hockey League. He can play any type of game. He's not overly offensive. He's excellent defensively. Never gets beat in a one-on-one. Makes very few mistakes in a game, if any, some nights. And you just love the calm demeanor that he plays with. And he's been spectacular season long. And, really since he got here, he's really helped turn the cap.
You know what, Alan? I'm watching this team for the first 20, 25 games, and I'm like, they're not right. They're not right. And it could have been the fact that they put too much emphasis in the regular season last year, and it didn't get them when they really needed it most in the playoffs, and maybe they're just holding back a little bit. But for me, what has to happen is that Kuznetsov, this young, outstanding talent, was a no-show for the first 30 games. To me, he is the key in the middle of the ice, and Backstrom needs some type of support. And at times when he gives it to him, it's almost as if this team looks different.
No, absolutely, and you're 100% right there. They go nowhere in the playoffs if Kuznetsov doesn't get his level of play up, and he's got to be a lot more consistent. And, the one thing you can take out of the game last night, they lose in overtime, and it was a soft play by Kuznetsov below the goal line inside the offensive zone. reaching, doesn't commit to take a hit, protect the puck, and the Penguins go down on an odd man rush, and he's late getting back as well because he's standing still behind the goal line. So, you know, he definitely has to raise his level, and he should be a point-of-game player. He really, in my opinion, should be at the top of the scoring chart with Crosby and Connor McDavid. His offensive skills are that good, and he's passed the puck off way too many times. He's made, you know, a lot of spinning plays to nowhere, and he just has to be so much more engaged. He's got to be tougher on the puck. And, you know, the first season he played here, he's so concentrated so much on being a good defensive player under Barry Trotz. They moved him from right wing to center, so he's only played center 3 years now. But he was great defensively. He was tough on the puck. And somewhere last season after the All-Star game, he started not to produce. And in the playoffs, he wasn't there when they need him. Yep. He wasn't here the first 25 games of the season. So, you know, you've hit the nail on the head there. A lot of those inconsistent games they had the first part of the season, you know, they were changing lines on a nightly basis. And until they changed the defense pairs, this team really didn't get going. And once they did that, all the forward lines got better. He's been somewhat better, and he's had some spectacular games, but he's also been, you know, had some of the worst games of any Capital this season. So you're 100% correct there, Nick, in that he has to be the number one guy on this team that they can depend on to create offense, and then certainly not make any soft plays with the puck, and has to be flawless on defense, but a lot more like Nick Backstrom than Kuznetsov right now.
So do they have a chance to get it done in the playoffs? I mean, we listened to Barry Trotz on this show talk about Kuznetsov this time last year, and he couldn't say enough about him. Primary assist guy, the best primary assist guy in the NHL, Then he's a disaster in the – well, I'm not going to say a disaster because the PR department will get mad at me there in Washington. They're still mad at me, but anyway.
Oops.
Anyway, not that I really care, but anyway.
Okay.
Cared enough to mention it.
As an aside, yeah.
Are they good enough to take this conference? Have they got the intangibles, Alan?
Well, I still believe that they need one more defenseman. It's not to slight any of the guys that they have. But you saw last night with John Carlson out of the lineup, they had all three defense pairs were mixed up from what they had for the last nine games. And you get John Carlson back with Carl Alsner, but I think you need some depth in case you have an injury. Because last year, if they were to somehow beat Pittsburgh and they lost Carl Alsner, they would have lost four straight in the next round anyways. So they really focus a lot of the success here has been the top 3D, Alsner, Carlson, Niskanen, those three guys in any order. They need to add one more player, and I think it needs to be another right-handed defenseman. If they do that, you still have to get out of the Metropolitan Division. But I think whoever gets out of the Metro goes all the way to the finals, and then if they win it, it'll be all about, you know, the luck of getting through injury-free. But I still think they have to add some depth. The forward lines I'm fine with. They're all producing. You can throw your players all over the place. TJ Oshie, Justin Williams do so many things in utility roles. And if you get the top two centermen going and Backstrom and Kuznetsov, they're going to be really hard to beat. But I still think your defensemen have to be able to skate. In the Pittsburgh series last year, they had 8 D-men that could all do their forwards, backwards transitions. You were talking to Brent Burns earlier. You know, not to his level, but Letang, an all-world defenseman, and then the rest of them could cover in one-on-one. They could play a speed game. They could get out of trouble making that first pass. So I still think the Caps need to add one more guy there for the depth to be able to go all the way.
Now I know why Brian Todd played him.
That's right.
Hey? Just talked him to death.
Talked him right to death.
We got him. Hey. Alan, we're heavy against it.
Alan,
one of the best
teammates I had, Alan. You know why? Because you knew all the hot spots at College Park.
Oh, I know. I used to try to follow you guys.
Alan, thanks so much. See you.
Thanks, Alan. Good luck, bud.
Caps Insider. And one of the wildest games we've seen all season long. The Penguins defeat the Washington Capitals by a final score of 8-7. 9 games on the board this evening. Choose it. Enjoy it. Iron the couch with your bud. Plenty of hockey on the horizon this evening. Thanks for joining us today on Hockey Central at noon. Well done, Nick Kiprios.
The janitor stuff, too, eh?
Yeah, a little janitorial, a little mop and bucket man work around here. Talk to you tomorrow.
He's St. Louis, mate.